see so many I have known for so long, and to worship with you again around the gospel that we love, that we know, that we preach, that we've heard over the years. God has blessed us in so many ways. We have so much to be thankful for. And I am glad to be here. I appreciate your pastor. We talk almost weekly, and I encourage him, and he encourages me, and we encourage one another. And it's a blessing to have friends who love the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. I think you're studying through the book of Hebrews on Sunday morning. Is that right? Okay. Chapter 9 of Hebrews. One of my favorite books in all of the Bible is the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, let's begin at verse 24. Hebrews 9, verse 24. For Christ did not enter into the holy places made with hands. That's what the typical priest did. He entered into that tabernacle of old made by Moses and those in the wilderness, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, into the very presence of God, into heaven itself, the throne of God, when He had by Himself purged our sin. God exalted Him. He is seated at the right hand of God, enthroned as King and Lord, into heaven itself, now, right now, not someday, right now, to appear in the presence of God. Now, you get a hold of this for us, for me, a sinner, a worm. He appears in the presence of God to intercede for me? For me? Yeah, that's what it said. He appeared for me in glory. Look at verse 25. More yet, that He should offer Himself often as the high priest, entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. That's what they did under the law on the Day of Atonement, year after year after year after year. But the Lord entered one time. One sacrifice. They made many sacrifices. He made one sacrifice. For then He must have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the age, the end of the world, hath He appeared. He appears in glory. He appeared here as my substitute to put away my sin. But now, once in the end of the age, hath He appeared. Who appeared? He appeared. God Almighty, incarnate, in the flesh. He appeared, and He didn't just appear and disappear. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. By the sacrifice of Himself, as it is appointed unto men, once to die, but after this, judgment. Verse 28. Here He's going to appear again. Verse 28. So Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, His covenant people, His sheep, to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto glorious, glorious salvation. Now, my text is taken from verse 26. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Now, I know no better way to end the year and to start, Lord willing, the new year soon than to worship together around the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood atonement made on behalf of His covenant people. No better way to end the year than to begin a year. And we have no better message to preach than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. No better message. We can't improve upon that message. You see, it's God's gospel. And we are to declare this gospel. And may we be determined, as the Apostle Paul, in this coming year and the years to come, God willing, to know nothing and to preach nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we do so from the Word of God, the truth of God. We don't come making up things. We come repeating what God has already said. That's what preaching's all about. It's just one beggar telling another beggar where bread is found in Christ. He is the bread. He's the water. Look to Him. Come to Christ. Now, I know of no better book in all the Scripture that declares unto us and describes unto us the better high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the better priest. He is the priest that has an unchangeable priesthood. We have such a great high priest. Hold your place there and let's look at a few scriptures here back to Hebrews chapter 4. Christ is the better priest. They were many priests, and they were not permitted to continue by reason of death. But this priest, the great high priest, he ever lives to intercede for us. We have a great high priest who has somewhat to offer. He offered up himself. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. We do. That is passed into the heavens. Jesus, Savior, Son of God, Son of God. Let us hold fast. Let us hold fast to Him. He is our profession. Let us lay hold on eternal life in Christ Jesus. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's the better high priest. He's the excellent high priest. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a better high priest who has somewhat to offer, and He offered not the blood of bulls and goats, but He brought His own blood. His own blood for us. So He is the better high priest. Not only that, in this book of Hebrews, we read again that He is the surety of the better covenant. Find Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7, that's the key word, isn't it, through the book of Hebrews. Better. Christ is the best. He's the best. There's none better than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's altogether lovely in all of His person and all of His office and all of His work. He's better. He's the best. He's the best. Hebrews 7, verse 22. By so much was Jesus the Savior made a surety of a better covenant. Hebrews 7, 22. Of a better covenant. They were truly many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, he has an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We have a better priest. We have a better covenant, ordered in all things and is sure, guaranteed, ratified, secured, made certain and sure by His blood sacrifice. And we have a better mediator than that of Moses. Moses was a mediator of that old law. But we have a better mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look right across the page in Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But now hath He obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. All the great, exceeding great and precious promises of the gospel. Abraham, I'm fully persuaded, like Abraham was, that all that God promised, maybe it will be fulfilled. All that God promised, He's able to perform. He's able. He's able to save, able to keep these better promises. We have the glorious promises of God given to us in the gospel. So we have a better high priest. We have a better surety, a better mediator. And my friend, there were many sacrifices under the law. Is that right? Many sacrifices, morning and evening, yearly on the Day of Atonement. Many sacrifices. But we have a better sacrifice. That sacrifice is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We have a better sacrifice. It says in my text in Hebrews 9:26, by the sacrifice of Himself. Now that's the better sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. By His one glorious sacrifice, He purchased salvation for all of His covenant people. He bought us. I'm His property. He bought me at great price. He bought me with His blood. God had bought us with His own blood. By the purchase of this sacrifice, He bought His covenant people. He loved the church and gave Himself for the church. He redeemed His covenant people from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. All sin. Thank God He redeemed us, and we are redeemed. Bought. Delivered. Not with silver and gold. Not with tradition. Not with ceremony. But with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Oh, my friend, we have a glorious sacrifice. We have a glorious sacrifice that God gave on behalf of His people. By this glorious sacrifice, He purchased covenant. He purchased His covenant people, redeemed His people from all their sin, and satisfied all that God's holy justice required of me. He satisfied God. He satisfied God on my behalf. That He might be the just God and Savior. That He might be just and the justifier of those who look to Him. You see, He's able to meet all my need. All my need according to His riches in glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have, my friend, a glorious gospel to preach to those who are in need. To sinners. Anybody here fit that camp, that description? I believe you do. I believe you do. I know sinners are looking for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If I ever find a sinner seeking salvation, I'm going to tell him where it's found. In Christ. Christ and Him crucified. And this is all, it all works, the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, it all works to the praise of the glory of His grace. His grace gives Him all the honor and all the glory in all of salvation. Now, a little word right here in verse 26. Three letters, S-I-N. You see that? S-I-N. Now here we see the problem presented. The problem presented is sin. S-I-N. Just a little word, isn't it? But it creates big problems. Sin. Sin. The problem presented and the sin problem is sin. All of us, all men, all of us have this problem in common. We're sinners. We're sinners. All of us. We're guilty before God. All of us have this problem in common. All of us stand guilty as charged before God. God said there is none just upon the earth. No, not one. We're guilty. God looks upon every heart, and all He sees there is the evil and wickedness of our own depraved heart. We are sinful. Born in sin. Shapen in sin. I not only have Adam's sin and guilt imputed to me, but I have my own problem, my own sin, my own transgression. And it's a problem so enormous and so great, I can't do a thing about it. I can't put it away. I can't deal with my sin. God says I'm guilty. God said He demands holiness, demands righteousness. I can't produce it. And I can't put away my sin. What can? Well, they just sang about it. Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can put away my sin but that glorious sacrifice of Jesus Christ. None of us can deal with this sin problem we all have. None of us have the ability or even the will or mind or want to. We love darkness rather than light. I know this, as my dear pastor used to tell us for years and years, sin is very difficult to put away. Sin is very difficult to put away. I wish I could stop. One day I will. When you plant this old carcass in the ground, I'll have a new body one day. But until then, I have a battle. I have to deal with this flesh, and it's sinful. I can't put away my sin. I can't deal with this problem, and you can't either. It's impossible to put away sin apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you'll notice down in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, it says, "It's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin." It requires more than that animal sacrifice. Animal sacrifice could not put away the sin of a man. Now, it pictured substitution, and it pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it never made atonement for sin. Never at all. It says in verse 1, "Can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." Sin is such a big problem, and I have no way to deal with my sin. You don't either. I tell you, we're shut up to one answer, and that's found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That's the only way. I know this. All my religious zeal and tradition and repentance and faith cannot put away sin. That's right. If righteousness is by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The eternal suffering of an endless condemnation can never put away sin. That's why it's eternal. Never satisfy God's holy justice. And I know this, wherever their sin is found, the eternal holy God will and must punish sin. Either in me or in my substitute, but He has to deal with the sin issue, the sin question. You see the little word, S-I-N. But I tell you, it contains big, big problems, doesn't it? Sin. Now, the solution. Look what it says there in my text again. The solution is, He hath appeared. Now that's the solution. He appeared. Who appeared? He appeared. The Lord Jesus Christ. He appeared. Who is this that appeared? Let's find out here. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. He appeared. You see, it's who He is that gives glorious, infinite merit and power to what He did. It's just not that blood was shed, it's whose blood was shed. Hebrews chapter 1, it says in verse 2, Hebrews 1, 2, "Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person," He is God incarnate. That's what He's saying here. "Upholding all things by the word of His power." Who can do that? Who can uphold the world and all things by His power? None but God. The one who died for our sin is none other than God, the God-man, mediator. "When He had by Himself purged our sin, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." Who appeared? He appeared. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Now think about this. This is God. Have you ever noticed in the book of Titus especially, but in Timothy as well, Paul often refers to the Savior as God, our Savior? God, our Savior. That's who appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. He didn't come unsent. He's sin of God. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, Acts 2. "You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain the Lord of glory." But He was sin of God. In the fullness of time, God sent this one. He's God's appointed sacrifice for the appointed people at the appointed time. They tried to kill Him on numerous occasions, and He just walked through them. He said, "My hour is not yet come." But one day He said, "The hour is here. The hour is here. This is the hour that's appointed of God from the councils of eternity. Him being the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He appeared to put away sin. Who appeared? The Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate. He against whom all sin is committed, He appeared to deal with my sin. The very one I sinned against, He appeared for me to take care of a problem that I could not deal with. Sin. Sin. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Hebrews 10, 5. Wherefore He, when He cometh into the world, the God-man, the mediator, He said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou hast had no pleasure, no satisfaction, no atonement. Then He said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it's written of me to do thy will, O God. Call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin. Had anyone else appeared to put away sin, but the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, sin would never have been put away. We'd have no atonement. We'd have no reconciliation. We'd have no redemption from sin. Thank God that He came, Son of God. God so loved His own that He gave Himself. Here in His love, not that we love God. That's not where love is. That's not the superiority love. But not that we love Him, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be our propitiation, our satisfaction unto God. He rendered everything unto God that God demanded. That God demanded of me, the Lord Jesus Christ provided. He is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Remember what Abraham told Isaac? My son, God will provide the lamb. And He is the Lamb Himself. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. What amazing love. What a glorious message we have in the gospel of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you got the first two points. Sin. The second point is, He appeared. Thirdly, look back to the text again. Hebrews 9:26. Once in the end of the age, in the last days, the last time, at the appointed time, the Lord Jesus, He hath appeared. God in the flesh. He hath appeared to do what? What does it say there? To put away sin. By the sacrifice of Himself. What did He appear to do? Here we see the glorious sacrifice described. The sacrifice of Himself. Of Himself. Now the high priest under the law dared not to approach God. Dared not to approach God. He had to come a certain way. Remember the story of Nadab and Abihu. In Leviticus chapter 10, they brought strange fire. They thought they'd make an improvement upon what God instructed, and God killed both of them. That high priest on the Day of Atonement dared not enter into the Holy of Holies without the blood designated by God. Son of God, notice if you will, Hebrews 9, verse 7. But into the second went the high priest alone, Hebrews 9, 7, once every year, but not without blood, which He offered for Himself and for the sin of the people. Dared not come without a blood sacrifice, without the blood. Now our great high priest did not bring the typical offering. He didn't bring the animal offering. He was the high priest, the great high priest. But He didn't bring the blood of bulls and goats, did He? Look at Hebrews 9. Verse 11 and 12. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His, here's the phrase, His own blood. His own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal, I love this right here, having obtained, He obtained it with His own blood, eternal. You see, His work's eternal. He saves us with everlasting salvation, eternal salvation, and with eternal redemption, eternal deliverance. This is what He's done for us. This is God's Lamb that God Himself gave. This is that Lamb that was identified by those prophets of old. They all gave witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last one, old John said, there He is. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of God's people, God's covenant sheep. He is the Lamb of God. He is the one that the prophets of old said, someone's coming. He is the Lamb that died for the sins of His covenant people. And He is the sacrifice, the Lamb of God that we look unto right now to cleanse us from all sin. Turn over to Hebrews 12, verse 2. Hebrews 12, 2. We're looking. We're looking for forgiveness. We're looking for cleansing. We're looking for someone to deal with our sin. And that someone is Christ Himself. Looking unto Jesus, the Savior, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's repeated over and over again in the book of Hebrews. He sat down. Work is done by the sacrifice of Himself. And we look to Him. And notice it's present tense, looking. Looking unto Him. Believing Him. Coming to Him. We do that continually by faith, by grace, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we look to Him to put away our sin and to save us by His grace. We look to Him now and we look to Him forever. And that song of glory is unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. That's the song of the ages. I love singing about what He has done for me. I love talking about and telling others what He has accomplished on behalf of His people. I never weary of it. God help us to always find comfort, assurance, and great confidence in this great sacrifice, Jesus Christ Himself. And may we say with Paul, God forbid that we should glory in any other than this glorious sacrifice of Christ Himself. Turn to one more scripture on that. I'm thinking of Hebrews, or not Hebrews, but find Ephesians 5. Himself. Christ Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He's our substitute. He gave Himself in my room and in my stead. Ephesians 5, verse 2. Walk in love, as Christ also had loved us, and hath given Himself. Ephesians 5:2. Given Himself, hath given Himself for us an offering and sacrifice. Now watch this. This is key right here. The sacrifice and atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ is not offered unto men. I'm not the offended party. God's the one that's offended. This sacrifice is unto the Lord. It's the blood on the altar before the Lord. All through the book of Leviticus, it talks about that blood before the Lord. You see, it's His atonement that's offered unto Him that satisfies His own law and justice on our behalf. An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Oh, I'm satisfied, he says, with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that leads me to my fourth point is this. Turn back to the text. The success. The awesome, tremendous success. Put away sin. The awesome, tremendous success declared. He put away sin. He put away sin. It says in verse 28 of Hebrews 9, so Christ once offered to bear the sins of many. Now, if He took my sin and took my judgment and took my condemnation, if He stood in my room and in my stead and paid my debt, then I don't owe it. Is that right? There is no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. If he paid my debt, then I don't know it. And my friend, he paid it to the full. He paid it to the full. He put away sin. Make no mistake. What he came to do, he effectually accomplished. He knows nothing. Now, he knows a lot about agony, but he knows nothing about the agony of defeat. Does he? Huh? Remember that old Sports Illustration thing about the agony? They show that guy going down that skiing hill, and he's flipping, rolling. The agony of defeat. The Lord Jesus knows a lot about agony, but not defeat. You see, his suffering, his agony was victory. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Make no mistake. He effectually accomplished what he came to do. He knows nothing of failure. One of the scriptures that I love to read over and over and over again in Isaiah 42, he shall not fail. I have a Savior that cannot fail to put away all my sin and reconcile me unto God Almighty. That's good news. Because I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. What he meant to accomplish at Calvary, he finished. He prayed, Father, I've glorified thee on earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. He said on Calvary's tree, it is done. It's done. The punishment of thy iniquity, he said in Lamentation, is accomplished. Done! Done. He left nothing undone in this work of redemption. He left nothing undone, and he left nothing for me to add. Nothing. You mean nothing? I mean nothing. I mean zero. Anything I could bring would mess it up. Anything I could bring would taint it, because everything I am is I am. He left nothing undone. And he left nothing for me to do. Not by works of righteousness which he had done. Not by works of righteousness which we had done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing and renewing and regenerating work of God the Holy Spirit. He makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The point I'm trying to strive at and trying to make is this, and laboring to make is this, that in Christ Jesus in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ we are complete. Completely redeemed, completely pardoned, completely forgiven. We have complete salvation. We have a perfect Savior. In Jesus Christ and him crucified. Our Lord's one death and one sacrifice and one atonement put away, and I mean so much so, out of existence that the sin of God's people no longer even exists. You mean they're gone? I mean they're completely gone. You mean forever? I mean eternally. Look right across the page, Hebrews 10. You're not going to believe this, but look what God says. What he says. I hope you do believe this. Because this is what his word says. I'll take that back. You forgive me. I hope you do believe this. Hebrews 10. Look at this here. Hebrews 10, verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering, offering oftentimes, Hebrews 10:11, the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. Now here's a comparison between that Old Testament, old Mosaic high priest and the priest of God. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, they offered that sacrifice which could never take away sin. But this man, the God-man, the mediator, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. There's that phrase again. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Why is he expecting? Victory! He's expecting victory! For by one offering, he perfected forever. He perfected forever. One offering forever. Perfected forever. Them that are sanctified. Now look at verse 17. and their sins, God said, Hebrews 10:17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there's no more, no more, no more offering for sin. No more. Don't look for another. He's it. He's everything. He's everything. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood atonement of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood atonement didn't simply hide my sin. Put them away. Put them away. Far as the east is from the west. Behind the back of God, wherever that is, into the depths of the sea, they're gone. They're gone. His blood cleanses His people from all sin. Since it is true that Jesus Christ died as a sinner's substitute, that He died as a substitute for God's people, for His sheep. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. He came with them on His heart, on His mind, in that covenant arrangement, bearing my sin in His own body on the tree, died as my substitute, shouldering my guilt, wounded for me, bruised for me. With His stripes we are healed. He took all my transgression, all my sin, satisfied God in every jot and tittle, enduring my punishment. You see, it wasn't the work what men did at Calvary that day. It wasn't what those soldiers did. That's not my hope. It's what God was doing that day. It pleased God to bruise Him in my room and in my stead. That's right. This is God's Lamb. This is God's offering. And my friend is most successful. Bearing my sin as my substitute, dying in my place, shouldering my guilt, enduring my punishment, and in doing so, satisfied God. Let's turn and read this. Galatians chapter 3. The law says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. In Galatians chapter 3, it says this. In Galatians 3, verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Cursed of God, bearing my sin, bearing my judgment, my wrath, and put away my sin, put away that curse. Satisfied God. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He made peace with God. Peace with God. With His own blood. That, I can't make peace with God. I can't satisfy God, and no sinner can. But we have peace with God. We're reconciled unto God. He made peace for us with His own blood. His blood. He satisfied God. Reconciled us to Himself. We were at one time estranged, without God, without hope, without life, and without Christ. Our sins separated us from God. But the Lord Jesus Christ came, and He, by His sacrifice, reconciled us together. We're made one in Him, in Christ. Members of His body. Therefore, my friend, there is therefore now no judgment to those who are in Christ. And furthermore, there's no separation. No judgment, no separation. You see the good news? Read the text again with me. Hebrews 9:26. But now once in the end of the age, once, one time, one sacrifice, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us unto God, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared. Who appeared? What did He do? Put away sin. How? The sacrifice of Himself successfully to put away sin. And He got it done. He got it done. And that gives me such rest and comfort and assurance that I can rest in Christ knowing He dealt with my sin and made complete atonement for all my sin, satisfied God. And one day He crossed my path with the gospel and told me the good news. He sent me a faithful servant of God to tell me the good news, and God gave me life to hear it and to believe it. As we close this year, it's been a good year. It's been a good year. It's been a good year. As we close this year, And as we gather together and worship Him, let us always remember His glorious sacrifice of Himself. And let's keep this in mind. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear. He's coming back. He said, I'm going away. I'm coming back to receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also in Christ Jesus. Well, I pray the Lord will bless that word to your heart and cause you, as you close this year out and think of that new coming year, may God give us all faith to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, victorious, exalted at God's